expect to see, things that we will see in these last days that we're living in. Amen. And I want to preach for a little while this morning on Pentecostal in name only. Pentecostal in name only. The word of the Lord reads today, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. I believe he's speaking about people. I'm thinking he's speaking about churches, organizations, systems, anything that says that they have a form of godliness but deny the true power of the cross of Calvary, or deny the true power of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen. Help me here. Turn away from them, but embrace those that believe the gospel. Embrace those that stand firm on the word of God. Embrace those that believe that the power of the Spirit is still moving and working even today. Father, we love and praise you this morning, God. And Father, you have blessed us. You have touched us. We've been in your presence. We've felt you, Lord God. We know that you're here in a tangible way, God. And we're asking you now, Lord, to minister. Help me, God, and hide me behind the finished work of the cross of Calvary, Lord. Let me speak as an oracle of God. But, Lord, let your people, Lord, receive your word, God. And, God, transform lives, uplift, and undergird, Lord. Lord, if we need rebuking, rebuke us. If we need instruction, instruct us, God. If we need correcting, correct us, God. Lord, that your work would be manifested here today. And the people of God said amen and amen and amen. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. And I want to preach again for a little while this morning. And we're, as always, because of this times that we're in and the schedules and the COVID and all this going on, we know our services are not lasting as long as they normally do. But can you realize that we don't have a time clock on this service? We'll let the Lord move and have his way. But I want to preach to you this morning on a sermon I entitled Pentecostal in Name Only. And what we're seeing here is, I read you this scripture knowing that the context here, Paul addressing the church, talking about things that we would see in the last days. And I know all of us realize and we're seeing signs of the last day all around us. And we've heard about the coming of the Lord. I've heard it since I was a young child. And I'm not going to preach on the coming of the Lord. But I'm going to talk about things that happen in the last days when the Lord is soon to return. And this is things that we should come to realize that is going to happen. But we say, God forbid that these things happen to us and here in our church and our local assembly. And what Paul was dealing with here when he said these people will have a form of godliness, you see, they look the part, they dress the part, they sing the right songs, and they come to the sanctuary and possibly assemble together in a religious institution or denomination or a local body, but they deny the power of God to transform. They deny the power of God to help us to live good, holy lives. Come on now, just if you'll help me, I won't preach as long. But they deny that they've got all the shout down and the praise down and the worship and the songs, and we may even have great preaching going on, but there is a denial of the power of God to change people's lives. There is a denial of the fundamental power of a sovereign God that can somehow touch a man or a woman, be it through salvation, sanctification, or the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. They deny that that power is really real to change him. They'll sing about that power. They'll praise about that power. They'll talk and preach about that power. But then they'll go out and live a life that does not exclaim or glorify or bring honor to God. Amen. How many of you know that when you shout and praise and worship and magnify God, that same God that you're praising, magnifying and worshiping is the same God that can help you live in a sin-sick world? We're living in a day and age, and we're in a divided nation. Wickedness is rampant everywhere. And the church sometimes looks around and saying, oh, what are we going to do? I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to walk in the authority of the Word of God. We're going to walk in the power of God. And we will see demonstrations of the magnificent power and the authority of God Almighty. Amen. We don't run in this dark hour. We take the challenge as David did. He said, you come at me with a sword and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. Amen. We don't run from the fight, we run to the fight, amen, because we have power with God. But we're living in a day, see, I want you to understand the main point this morning as Pentecostals, and we are, and I have to remind us quite often, we are a classical, traditional Pentecostal church. That's who we are. Our roots are in the Wesleyan holiness tradition, and I don't have time to get into all of that. But we're not this crowd that we may not shout as high as some folks do, amen. But like the old timers used to tell me, when you jump high and you run fast, amen. When you get done shouting, live right. Because God just didn't endue you with power from on high just so that you could come to church and feel good. He gives you something that'll last you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Come on here now, church. God has endued us, amen, to live pure and holy lives. See, the main point of this sermon this morning is not talking about the tongues. Of course, we believe in speaking with tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance, the initial evidence that a man or a woman has been baptized in the Holy Ghost and endued with this power from on high. We were out of the sanctuary for 2 weeks, but just prior to that, in that service, we had a tremendous outpouring of His Spirit in the church. Tongue and interpretation came forth. The altars were filled. We had a mighty demonstration, not only of the Spirit, but of the power of God. And those things are wonderful. But my point tonight, this morning, is not the tongues. It's not even the gifts. We know that the gifts are in operation in this assembly. We know that there are manifestations of the Spirit of God that take place in this church. I told you, I've only been not quite here 3 years. You don't know how blessed you are to have the liberty and the freedom and the movement of the Holy Ghost in this church. Come on now, that you have, because I've preached all around and pastored 4 different churches and know so many other pastors. We are blessed, amen, to have this type of Pentecostal experience. But with that experience, with the tongues, with the manifestations, with the giftings of the Spirit in operation, amen, there must also not only be manifestation, but there must be demonstration of the power of God. And I'm telling you right now, the most obvious manifestation of the power of God is people that walk right and live right and talk right, amen, and go out in this world, amen, and be a light to this dark world. Somebody say amen. See, we get this thing turned around that it's always about what we feel in the sanctuary. And somebody say, oh, you're just trying to put a lid on. No, let me tell you something. You help yourself. I come from a long line of Pentecostal people, and I believe that God gave me the type of personality. I am an extrovert. That means I don't know when to stop talking. I am loud. I've never met a stranger. I will go in a restaurant, and Kim will look at me. She says, talk to me. She said, you're looking for somebody to talk to. And that's the way that I am, amen. And I'll shout with the best of them. I remember first time I was pastoring my second church, and the Spirit would move, and I would dance in the Holy Ghost and all over the platform. And he said, preacher? I said, yes, sir. He said, you remind me of the scarecrow on the Wizard of Oz when you shout. I don't know if that was a compliment or not, amen, but I come by to tell you I didn't come here to preach against shouting because I love to shout. I didn't come here to preach against praising God because I love to praise God. I didn't come here today, amen, to try to put a damper on some manifestation of the Holy Ghost that might occur in your life, amen, but I'm telling you that the power and the enduing from on high is more than just a shout. It's more than just a praise. It's just more than hallelujah, amen. It'll give you something, amen, that'll help you walk right, talk right, live right, act. Come on now, church, and help me preach a moment. God, woo. In true Pentecost, I'm not talking about a counterfeit. It's amazing how the devil can counterfeit a lot of things going on in the church world today. Oh, don't you think the devil can't put on a shout? Don't you think that he can't mimic worship? Don't you think that he can't mimic speaking in tongues? Oh, but what he cannot mimic or counterfeit, amen, is that man or woman that is separated, sold out, praying, getting along with God, spending time. Come on now, church. You say, oh, all I need is to come to church and feel his presence once or twice a week. You're missing the whole thing, amen. You're just getting a part of it. What you need to do is plug into that power that God made available on the day of Pentecost. And it's just more than what we feel here. Just like in true conversion. I said true conversion, being born again. When a person gets saved, I heard a preacher say this a few years ago, just a short years ago. He said the sinner's prayer has done more harm to the church than anything that I know. It shocked me when he said it. But then I got to thinking about it. If you come down here and you repeat a few words after I repeat them, say them to you, and you go back and there's not been a change in you didn't get saved. True salvation, the Bible clearly says, old things pass away. Behold, all things are become new. Come on here, church. It's called being born again. It's the new birth, regeneration. There's going to be a change. That's true salvation. What happens is this counterfeit salvation, people think they're saved and they go out, there's no change, and they live the same way. You don't see any difference in the way they talk, the way they live, the way they act. I'm going to tell you something. When I got saved, there was a radical transformation. There wasn't any doubt. I was so bad when I got saved, my mama didn't even believe it. I told that here why she's been here. But she doesn't have to just hear what I say. She began to watch what God done in my life. Come on here. It's something radical. God has changed the way you think. God has changed the way that you talk. He'll take away the desires of things that you used to have. He'll change your taste in music. Woo! Why? Because you're not the same person. You're a new creation in Christ. Let me go. I'm going to lose you here. But when you get saved, it results in a continual fellowship growing in Jesus Christ. I'm talking about not just being Pentecost or being saved in name only. I'm talking about having the real stuff this morning. See, there's a generation now, and it's, and oh, I could name names, but I will sometime, but there's no purity. You can't have Pentecost without purity. You can't. You can't have true Pentecost. They can worship, and they can praise, and they can shout, and they can do all the outward manifestations that you normally would associate with good old-fashioned Pentecostal power. But there's no difference in their lives. Come on and say amen. Salvation is first. You become a new creation in Christ. Then sanctification. That means that you're separated from this world and sanctified and consecrated to God. Come on now, church. That's where we're meant. That's where these counterfeit baptism, this counterfeit Pentecostal so-called power that we're seeing a lot in these last day churches. You're not seeing genuine people who are set apart unto God. The Bible said in the last day there'll be signs, lying wonders, all kind of. You know, some people follow miracles. Miracles are supposed to follow them that believe. I don't go looking for a manifestation. I go looking for him. Come on now. Pursue God. Y'all still with me just a few more minutes? I'm talking about true Pentecostal power as opposed to being Pentecostal in name only. The great Ray Hughes, one of our greatest preachers in the Church of God, says when a church is no longer 51% Pentecostal, it cannot call itself a Pentecostal church. What that means is, you say, oh, brother, baby, you know, the main point is not the tongues. Some of the most godly men I've met, spirit-filled men I've met, I've never heard them speak in tongues. I believe in speaking tongues, and I believe it's the initial evidence of the baptism in the Holy Ghost. But I'm looking at a man's life, and I'm looking at a woman's life to see what kind of life they're living, and that's what people are doing to our lives. Come on, church. Do we have the goods or not? Are we truly who we say we are? Are we falling into this that we have a form of godliness, but we deny the power of God? You know why I'm saying this? Because people feel a touch of God. Well, they'll shout, they'll praise, they'll worship, and they're right back the next day living in the same mess. And it's like an affront to God that the power of God cannot change us. Sanctification is a daily process whereby the Spirit, through Calvary, propels us, drives us, inspires us, and motivates us to live good, sanctified, holy lives. I'm sick of this world. Anybody sick of the COVID? Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Let me try to wrap this up. The day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came from a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Go back to verse 3. Pentecost is personal. On that day when that 120 was in the upper room, the Bible said these cloven tongues of fire set upon each of them. A lot of people just want to get the overflow of the blessing. Fire represents the purity of God, the purifying work of God. Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. And what it means is that when you get saved and you're a new creation in God and you begin going through the sanctification process, and it's a daily process, we believe all that it's a definite second work of grace, but also an ongoing work that God does. When you get sanctified, you're open then for the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Come on here. It's personal. You just don't come to this altar and Sister Sally's, God's pouring it out. And I felt a little bit of that. No, God wants to pour it out on you and you and you, because isn't that what Joel said? In the last days, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. I look at my daughter, who's only 10. I said, I can't wait to hear her prophesy and speak with tongue. Come on, church. I remember, and I brought this up before, I come to a revival here in 1994, 95 in the other sanctuary. And on this side, I'll never forget it. Maybe some of you don't remember. Maybe some of you were the youngins then, and now you're grown. But there was a bunch of young people on this side, and God was pouring out His Spirit. They were speaking with tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance, and the church was rejoicing. Amen. How many of you really want to see a true last day outpouring of? I don't mean just a little day or two stirring, but something, amen, that will change the trajectory of this church and who we are and what we are in God. See, I'm trying to wake you up. Because Pentecost was the start of worldwide missions. Where is the anguish over lost people? I bring this up, and I know you're tired of it. I'm tired of it too. So stop doing it. I'll quit preaching it. Get off your phones. Shut down your laptops. Get off of Facebook. Get on your face before God and get in the book. When you say that you're concerned about lost loved ones, when you say you're concerned about lost and dying people, and yet you spend hours and hours and hours in front of a television or a computer or a phone. And I know it's quiet, but it's still right, because I'm addicted to mine just like you are yours. I was in a pastor's meeting just the other day, And every pastor, and I turned mine on airplane mode so it wouldn't ding or ping or whatever. And I watched and looked around, and I've seen this in a lot of other, I've gone to church conferences full of pastors. And they ask the pastors and their wives, please turn your phone off so you can be present in the room. And I watch them, and they don't do it. I thought, wow, don't go to your church and complain to your people that they won't act right when you won't even act right. Can't sit there and listen to anything without checking their phone. You better not be checking your phone right now. We say that we have a concern for lost loved ones and lost people in general. We say that we want a revival, or I want more than I want a spiritual awakening that will shake this area.
Come on, somebody, and bless the Lord.
I want a sustained move of true Pentecostal power. I don't want the counterfeit, amen. I want to see signs and wonders, miracles, amen, salvation, baptism in the Holy Ghost. That's true Pentecostal. Remember, there's no Pentecost without purity. You can shout, but if you don't obey God's word, I've been there. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm happy. I'm happy to be back in church. Wow, last Sunday I was in the hospital. I ain't never been in the hospital in my life. I say, I can see why people die in the hospital, because y'all trying to kill me. I don't want a short-lived stirring. I've been there. Get stirred up and promise God everything. And 2 weeks later, I'm right back where I was. Come on and say amen or oh me. True Pentecostal power give you something to move with that. God, the Bible said in the last days, and I'm closing, sister, if you'll come on to the piano. So good to have my wife on the piano this morning. Glad to, amen. The last days, Paul told this young Timothy here, the book of Timothy, he said there's going to be a form of godliness. And nobody, you I want you to get this, and I'm going to close. There won't be anybody in these movements or in these churches or in these systems that'll get up and have a form of godliness and will openly say, we deny the power of God. We've got this form, but we just deny. They're not going to say that. But their lifestyles, the way they live their lives, it's going to say it. God, give me power, authority, anointing. I like what Jesus said, I'll give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We run like we're scared to death of the devil. Fear has gripped this nation, this world, through this COVID-19. Dictating how we live. Paul said in these last days they're going to be a form of godliness, but they'll deny the power of God. I want you to stay. I'm going to close. Pentecost was a festival, the second great festival. And it was about harvest. Did you get that? It was about a harvest. Anybody but me here believe that it's the last days that we're living in? You believe it, say amen. Pentecost, true Pentecost, is about the harvest. It is about the harvest. It is about a last day. It may not be a worldwide revival. Some argue and debate over that. I don't know. But I do know that Joel prophesied and Peter preached and affirmed it. In the last days, I'll pour out my spirit. And if we're living in truly in the last days, we should be seeing a great outpouring. We don't have to wait. Come on here. We don't have to wait. It's time. Pentecost was about a harvest. Before we come and pray, and I'm going to say this before I close. If you're not comfortable coming to this altar, we understand. You pray where you are. If you need me to come pray for you where you're at, you don't want to be around, I didn't bring my mask, but whatever, we're willing to accommodate. We don't want anybody to feel ostracized. If you're not comfortable coming to this altar and having people lay hands on you, we're going to have a general altar call. We're all going to come and pray. This is a test before we pray for true Pentecostal people. If that person is committed to Christ, committed to the authority of the Scripture. Did you hear what I said? You got to believe this book. True Pentecostal people believe the book. We don't take parts of it and say, you know that crowd that says that you can do this and do that because the Bible don't mean what it means now, what it meant then. Anybody know they're trying to do the same thing to the Constitution? And they may do that to the Constitution, but they can't do it to this blessed book. They can't do that. You can't turn and say that the Bible has evolved. And Paul, when he wrote that, he didn't understand the culture and the time that we live in. My Bible said this book is settled forever, O Lord, in the heavens. Heaven and earth will pass away. Honey, your hide will be long gone, but God's word still stands. True Pentecostal people are committed to God and to Christ and to the authority of the Scriptures. True Pentecostal people obey the Word of God. People that are Pentecostal in name only, if you'll bow your heads. People that are Pentecostal in name only.